Good morning and welcome to the Crawford Stewardship Podcast. I am your host, Joseph Childs, and today we are here with Sarah Tedeschi. Sarah works with UW Extension as a community development educator on local food systems and is currently working on agritourism business development trainings for farmers in our area. Sarah was also an owner-operator of one of the first CSAs in Wisconsin named Dog Hollow Farm. Today, we're going to talk a bit about agritourism and its role in our community and our local food systems. So, Sarah, first I'd like to just thank you for coming in today and taking some time out of your busy schedule and joining me for a podcast.
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you for inviting me.
So, it's a little bit of a mouthful, your full title, the Community Development Educator focusing on local food systems. So, can you give me a little bit of a better idea on what someone in your position does at UW Extension?
Sure. And I'm specifically working at the county level for Crawford County. We have state level extension folks working on community food systems programming, which sometimes I'm able to take advantage of, and we'll talk about the agritourism, that's an example. But otherwise, I'm working really at the very, very local level and building relationships, building partnerships, and trying to provide for food and farm businesses, entrepreneurs, whether they're startup or trying to maintain or grow their businesses, providing supportive educational programming for these kinds of folks, and opportunities that might be things like helping to build local markets, which even the agritourism may touch on something like that. In Crawford County, for example, we have 5 small farmers markets, which is a wonderful place for food and farm entrepreneurs to either get started or to trial a product or to meet consumers and gain some, you know, brand awareness if that's what they're up to. We also have 2 shared kitchens, community incubator type shared use kitchens, one in Prairie du Chien and one in Gays Mills. Those are huge opportunities as well. Try to support them. So that's kind of an overview. I'm really, really meant to be providing educational opportunities and education. But because we're talking about food systems, really hearing from farmers, hearing from food and farm entrepreneurs what their needs are, what the resources they're looking for, and helping to bring those resources, make them available. And or literally get involved in hands-on, you know, market development. So it's pretty broad.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a lot of stuff that you can do, but it mainly focuses on being, in that support role, which many UW Extension positions are, you know, the cattle and livestock and forage and, you know, crop people with UW Extension. They're often playing that supporting role, you know, being that person that, you know, farmers in the area can reach out to and ask questions about certain things. And, you know, agritourism and market development is another facet of farming that is, you know, often overlooked, but especially for small scale farms, I believe that is a very important role that I'm glad to see that there's something from UW Extension supporting those farmers.
Yeah, exactly. And from a community point of view, you know, in our rural and agricultural area, to see, you know, all our smaller farmers thriving and food entrepreneurs having the resources they need. These are community economic drivers as well. So we're focused on the individual. We want them to do well, but we also are looking to bring a healthy economy back to or support that in our rural communities.
That seems to be a through line for a lot of the podcasts that I've done, is that these small farms are needed not only environmentally, they're culturally, but, you know, economically. These are, you know, they sell to and buy from almost every business in our community. So they really are a keystone species or a keystone business in our local communities, being that we are a rural, small town America community. That's they play a huge role. So the more small farms we have, the more small businesses we have, because small farms are small businesses, And, you know, that's when your community starts to thrive, is the more small business owners you have in it, it seems to be the better off you are.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. There are so many, you know, just to keep the dollars local, right? It's not a new idea to do that. And for us, our food and farming businesses in our area are connected to almost, you know, there's a domino effect that with our declining farm community, we are seeing other issues come to play that are seeing a decline in the economic viability of our smaller communities. So it's very, very much connected.
Yes. So we talked a little bit about agritourism at the very beginning. You had mentioned it. So you talked about the agricultural business development training. So can you talk a little bit more? What are they, and what is being offered to the folks that would attend these?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. So this was a good example of myself as a county-level educator having an opportunity to work with state-level extension folks who, in theory, are the experts, you know, in what they're developing. So there's a you know, a cohort of folks who are working on rural community economic development issues. And so this was a nice cross-disciplinary team from business management all the way to rural entrepreneurship and sort of everything in between, working on the development of these business trainings. And I was approached to ask if I thought Crawford County, and, you know, we will open it up to surrounding communities as well, so it will really end up being an opportunity for southwestern Wisconsin producers to participate in what will be no-cost business development trainings focused on agritourism, which is really very broad. It's going to be about producers bringing their ideas and having access to resources and experts to help develop those ideas, you know, developing their business concepts. There'll be six modules. They go like this. There's, you know, what agritourism, what is your value proposition, making sure that is, you have clarity as you're moving into a business plan mode. Developing the venture, is your business idea feasible? There's a lot of research that has to go into that when you're starting a new business. Risk and regulation, there are hoops to jump through and over. It's not necessarily a totally clear pathway like for many small businesses. And so what are the risks that you need to identify and address perhaps in your particular situation? Community connections, what need are you satisfying for your potential customer and perhaps for your community? Financial analysis, how do you know if you will be profitable? So getting to really work with sort of the financial expertise on that one, which is so important for, you know, new and small businesses to have clarity on that up front. And then marketing and placemaking, what will your customer experience be like? So those are sort of the broad overview of the modules. And I think we will both be pulling from extension and out of extension expertise to present these modules, paired with, my goal is with farmers. You know, farmers we know learn perhaps best, you know, farmer to farmer, peer to peer. So my goal is to have farmers available at each of these sessions to address the topic along with the you know, experts that we'll have there. It's going to be a hybrid format. I think we will hope to start off with an in-person session, probably a half day in person, and then move to online for the remainder of the modules. Hopefully with a capstone in the spring of a tour of agritourism sites once the ground has thawed and things are back in action in terms of the growing season, because these trainings, we don't have exact dates yet, but they will probably be sort of late February into early March is what we're looking at right now, and it will be very soon. We will have dates and the ability to register, et cetera. Until then, if folks, you know, any of your listeners or if people see flyers around, they are around, contacting me is a great way to just get your name on a list so you make sure to be notified when we have more details of how to sign up. So soon we will have a landing page and a way to register for these courses. Until that point, I welcome people to find me and my email on the Crawford County Extension website. Please reach out, let me know you're interested, and I'll make sure to get you on a list for future contact. But it will be soon here this fall that we will have more information available on that website and at the state as well.
These trainings sound like they're pretty much taking you from, hey, I have an idea, all the way through like a business planning and, getting you almost across the finish line with, here's what your business looks like at the end. Maybe not through the entire process, but from the first training of being like, what is your idea? We'd love to help you develop it, to what are your finances looking like? Is this even, some market research? Is this even a feasible thing? All the way to now you've got your idea honed down. What do you want to really craft your customer experience around? So it seems like, even if it's not just agritourism, it seems like it would be a great small business training to go through for those that maybe have an agricultural related business that, or looking to open a business that utilizes local food. This could seem like it would also be beneficial.
Yeah, that is exactly what we're hoping will come of this. It's not necessarily building a business plan, but it's going through all of the stages, really, of questioning oneself about a business idea and having experts help guide that process. Also, something Extension is always great at is just really excellent resources. So at the point that somebody exits this program, if they are ready to start developing a real business plan, they will have a dearth of resources, including financing potential and business coaches and things like that to work with to follow up. So yeah, this is the beginning stages. All should feel welcome. You don't have to have anything under your belt except maybe an idea. So yeah, yep. Trying to start at the beginning for folks and walk through the process.
Being running a small grazing business myself, and it's not really getting walked through it isn't generally what I would have needed. It was more introducing the concept of, hey, you should be thinking about this, because oftentimes you might skip a step. Like, I've got this idea, I've got the connections to make it happen, so I'm just going to go and do it. And that's kind of what I did, and it worked out, thankfully. But I didn't go through that whole like planning process in my head, and because it wasn't a step that I had even thought about. So even if we're not actually developing a business plan per se in these sort of trainings, just introducing the concept of, here are some things that you should take into consideration before you start your business, and maybe here are some things that you should be looking into before you start throwing money at something.
Exactly.
That's a really important step that, again, luckily it worked out for me, but it could have gone a lot worse, and it has gone worse for other people that, you have this idea, you've got a little bit of energy behind it, and then all of a sudden now you've got a bunch of money and you forgot to do steps 2 through 4. You went from 1 to 5 because you didn't have that person saying, well, let's pump the brakes, let's dive into your idea a little bit further first before we start taking actions on it.
Yeah, we can help farmers identify common pitfalls. It's another reason I think it's so important to have farmers part of the conversation in these trainings. But yeah, the last thing we want to do is encourage farmers to get out ahead of themselves financially. That's opposite of what we're trying to accomplish here. So yeah, hopefully. So, and this also is a pilot, and we will be taking feedback and evaluating ourselves, and certainly hearing from producers that are involved, and hopefully honing it to get better and better.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. I don't have a, you know, an agritourism business per se, but it's exciting to see something like this coming to Crawford County as a pilot program. This is not something that has been developed and is given to Crawford County. It's really starting here in Crawford County. So we have an opportunity. Well, Crawford, Vernon kind of area. We have an opportunity to really shape what could be, you know, something that is distributed to farmers around the state, and that's an exciting opportunity. We do have to take one little break here for station identification. We'll come back and talk more about some agritourism. You're listening to WDRT 91.9 FM. This is the Crawford Stewardship Podcast, and I'm your host, Joseph Childs. Today, we're sitting here with Sarah Tedeschi. Sarah works with UW Extension as a community development educator focusing on local food systems. And the current project that Sarah is working on is agritourism business development trainings. She has got some modules put together, some really cool modules, it sounds like, that can be offered to farmers for no cost. Sarah is also the owner-operator of Dog Hollow Farm, one of the first CSAs in Wisconsin, and we'll dive into that a little bit too, as a business model in a market that is growing rapidly in Wisconsin. So, Sarah, we've talked a little bit about the resources that UW Extension has and the role that small farms play in our community. So I wanted to dive a little bit more into the definition of agritourism. And I know this is still a debatable thing. You know, some people think, you know, these things fit agritourism's model. Some people think the other things do. And there's a little bit of a debate going on in the middle. So can you give us maybe what your take on the agritourism or UW Extension's take on agritourism is?
Sure, yeah, we can talk about that a little bit. It's really a very broad term that we're working in Crawford County together to, you know, sort of narrow the scope a little bit for our own purposes. But really, it includes broadly for producers in terms of areas of interest of what they may be offering. It could be as simple as direct sales, where consumers are able to buy directly from farmers. So there's a lot of models there we could talk about. It could be educational. We hope it's educational in nature. Learning by doing, experiential education. You know, we see, you know, kids getting out on farms, for example, or really any particular population of getting them out onto farms is really, in my mind, an ideal way to educate consumers and keep them connected to where their food comes from.
So that word you just, consumer, so when you're talking, you know, education, it's not having a how-to-farm educational event. Maybe that could be included, but also just the act of having somebody that isn't a farmer, that is a pure consumer, come and purchase a product from the farm, that in itself is an educational event for the consumer, is it not?
Yeah, I think so. And it can go beyond that. The farms that are offering other kinds of experiences, whether you're getting an opportunity to work on the farm, or maybe there's a farm-to-table meal, there's activities prepared for you that are educational in nature, which I think can also be very broad. If you're someone who doesn't have a lot of contact with farms and perhaps animals and the type of lifestyle, the feel of being on a farm, that to me, that's one of the best ways we can educate. And really what I'm talking about is how do we help people care more deeply, to be better informed and to care about their food choices, which may lead them to, more purchasing directly from farmers or choosing to buy organically if that's their thing, or really trying to identify products that are from their locale or their region. If that's really our goal, then somehow consumers have to learn to care about those things. There's certainly the personal health and wellness aspect of, you know, choosing high quality, fresh and healthful products that can come alongside this kind of education. But really to have someone have a transformational experience around their own food purchasing habits, I don't think there is a better way than having consumers connect directly with farmers and on farms and have a personal experience. So that's part of all of this that really interests me. It also what interested me in to get into CSA way back, and now it seems like in the early 90s was a long time ago. But at that point, we were really faced with the very, very early learning curve for consumers around what is local? What does that mean? Why buy local? What is organic? What does it mean? We were just at the point of even defining that for ourselves as a nation.
You got
what
into
what does direct marketing mean? You know, that was a new concept at that point.
Sorry about that. So you got into talking a little bit about the why there too. So, you know, we can answer what agritourism is a little bit, and again, that's we could do that for an hour and probably still not land on an agreed upon definition.
Yeah.
So the why behind it, the consumer education, I see that that you're putting that forward as a really important part. And you know, our last guest, Jacob Millat, he also talked a lot about consumer education as he came into the whole, you know, small scale regenerative farming space from the health aspect, but you know, just to keeping those dollars close and having people care about what they eat. And you know, people will spend more money on things that they care about. You know, you'll spend a lot of money on a pet because you care about it. You spend money on your family, your car, because you care about it. So if you care about your food, you're not basing your decision solely on, you know, the price per ounce or price per pound. It's more of a thing that you're connected with and you feel like it's valuable to you, so you spend money on it.
Exactly.
So we talked about the why a little bit. So I want to expand on that of, you know, why agritourism then? You know, why is this important to the larger, you know, I see why it's important to the farmers. I see why the farmers are important to the community, but you know, are there other reasons, are there other impacts that agritourism have more than just, you know, having a, you know, keeping a farm maybe slightly more profitable? Are there community-wide impacts that can be felt from this?
I believe so. That is certainly the hope, that this is literally another market to develop that is appropriate for our area and our region and our tendency towards smaller farms, to provide the opportunity to diversify an income stream, which is something that smaller, diverse farms are always looking to do to stabilize financially. And so that's really the first goal, is to make that available. It's certainly not for all farmers, absolutely not. Because on some level, agritourism is going to, you know, increase interface with the folks who represent your market. That is the market, right? It's a direct person-to-person kind of situation. So it's not for all farms, but for some, it really is. It's an opportunity. And yeah, what our hope is that is then, in the bigger picture, a community economic driver. And to that end, I'll mention that in preparation for these trainings, I have been working on pulling together in Crawford County, specifically at this point, the community development leadership community and the folks working on tourism, and of course, farmer-facing organizations as well, because I'm doing my best to ensure that we have a strong farmer-forward, you know, voice as we're talking about what might we want to develop here in Crawford County. There's a real opportunity because we know that we have visitors to the area. There is a tourist flow coming through, largely because we are a beautiful and rural and, you know, accessible at this point county. And I would say that's true for the surrounding counties and Vernon County as well. We're already known for being agricultural and our beautiful small farmscapes. And even a farm-to-table type mystique is, I think, very much viable. And yet, at least in Crawford County, we don't yet have a more sort of curated and place-making, branded type initiative to support the farmers who would like to get into this line of work. So my goal is to not only help provide education for producers, but actually have the community development support for those farms, because really what they need help with most is promotion and marketing. Mm-hmm. And we can make that kind of thing happen in creative ways if we work collaboratively and collectively. So I'm kind of working on parallel tracks, the producers and the community development folks, to make sure that we have their backs and are going to help as best we can promote what's appropriate for Crawford County. That's why I'm really trying to get a lot of input. We want to make sure we've got a good cultural, authentic, and shared values-driven approach to what we want to see here happen here in Crawford County.
It seems like this has it's giving a little bit of reminiscent of the old tobacco co-op, the old tobacco warehouses, the pools that we used to have of, you know, we can't demand a better price for this half acre of tobacco that we have here, but let's go find our, you know, 10, 20, 30 neighbors and let's start to, you know, we put everything together and then, people start to listen to us a little bit more. And maybe it's not so much as a price negotiation technique, but a, branding it as, this is something from the local area and this is something special that could be more valuable to consumers. But that cooperative marketing model that you're describing seems like it would flip the table from being competing against your neighbor to competing for your neighbor. You both are pushing in the same direction. You're pushing the same wagon up the same hill instead of each of you pushing your own wagon and trying to push it faster than the other guy or the other girl. It seems like that would be a way to maybe turn the agricultural space to a less competitive space in a certain, geographical area. And like you said, we have this amazing, beautiful landscape that we live in. It's known already. People come here. So if, when they're back home and they see a market or a product that is marketed, from the Driftless area of Wisconsin, that brings up a memory that they had coming out here, and they do want to support it because they want to see their favorite place, stay what it is. And so I really like that idea that it kind of gives a nod to our roots. We have tobacco warehouses in a lot of the small communities that we have here, and that was, something that kept a lot of families on the farm through tough years, was that specialty crop. And I could see, if you have a farm stand where you're having consumers come directly to buy from you at a premium, if you have 10 or 12 of those that are doing that every month, that could be the difference in making the payment versus not making the payment, because that could be a difference of, $1,000 to $1,200, $1,500 a month if everyone's spending $100 there. And so I just see it as such a beautiful fit for our area, and I'm glad that there's a good group of people working on that. So, Sarah, I'd really like to thank you for coming in. If you've got anything that you'd want to say here towards the end, and you can go ahead here.
Well, thank you for having me, Joseph. This is a great ongoing discussion as this evolves. We're really at the very beginning. I welcome anyone at any point in this process to reach out to me. Find me on the Crawford County Extension website if you're interested in being involved in the planning meetings. Not just the trainings, as a participant for the trainings, please reach out to me. Just a quick thank to partners, including Joseph Crawford Stewardship Project, Driftless Development Incorporated, the Vernon Crawford Farmers Union. These folks have been really essential in helping to evolve this conversation so far, and I welcome others to join us.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Sarah. This has been the Crawford Stewardship Podcast on WDRT 91.9 FM. You can find this episode as well as archival ones on WDRT.org. Thanks again. Have a good day.